Welcome to the Village, home of Taking It Back Tuesday, the Kids Corner, Music Moments, the Welcome to the Village show, and the Second Helping. Home of Taking It Back Tuesday, the Kids Corner, Music Moments, the Welcome to the Village show, and the Second Helping. Welcome to the Village. Welcome to the Village. It's your man KJ. Tonight I have
Chance on the line.
That's what's up, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. It's Friday the 13th. I'm sipping on a brew, and it's a good day.
You know, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, you know, Village, I don't have a beer tonight in honor of Beyonce visiting San Diego. I have lemonade. I know I'm petty for that. refreshing. But no, I'm not trying to be petty. I just, you know, she's in San Diego, and there was another post that I saw on social media. There were some other people that were like, who cares? And I was just like, hey, I mean, she's kind of famous, so, you know, give her some props, but... Right, anyways, right. You know what I mean? Anyways, so yeah, everything is good with me. I'm just, you know, relaxing. It's a Friday night. Got my boy on the mics. We're about to do it. So, Chance, let's go ahead and jump right into this, man. This very first topic here. These young ladies, these Army cadets, 16 of them, they took a picture, and basically they were holding up the Black Power fist. Now, honestly, I don't see the big deal. And here's why. The Black Power fist is not a hateful symbol, if I remember correctly. And I believe that I do. So for me, when all these people were saying, oh, this is a symbol of hate, they're in uniform, they're trying to push a certain agenda, I couldn't agree with them. And that was my biggest issue. Now, when you saw that picture, what did you initially think yourself?
My first thought, being a black man, I thought Black Power. But then I also thought that it was a sign of, they were all women. And I thought it was like a sign of, then I thought back to women's suffrage, and it was a sign of unity for women.
Mm-hmm.
So, initially I thought Black Power, but then I thought, no, this might be something else. So... But I agree with your point that the Black Power fist never was a symbol of violence, hate, or anything like that. It was all about unity within the black community and standing up for personal rights and freedoms.
Exactly. And so that's why, you know, I try not to argue with fools, you know. And it drove me a little bit crazy because, you know, they're like, oh, they're no better than the KKK and just like that. I'm like, you know, if you really look back, Black Power, when people say Black Power, it's not followed by any kind of hatred towards any race. But when you look through history and you hear White Power, what is that followed by? Some kind of hate for someone else, another culture, another race, ethnicity, whatever. And that's why I really try to stay away from really getting into it with people, you know, and some of them not even service members. So it really was just like, you know what, I'm not even going to dignify this and really give you a really in-depth response. I chose to just chalk it up as an L and keep it pushing. And so that's what I did with that. But again, you know, the Army Army board or Department of the Army, rather, did an investigation. And, of course, they found no wrongdoing. Now, the other aspect that I want to throw at you, and some people are going to be like, really, KG, like, why are you throwing this out there? But with all the racial tension going on right now, do you think the Army chose not to go further with this because of all the current racial tension as far as, you know, with the police and this, that, and the other? Did that play a factor to you?
I think it did. I think I think it's something that they had to discuss. They had to think about. It's something that can't be ignored. I mean, if they can't ignore the symbolism of the fist and all of its possible meanings, then they couldn't ignore the what's going on in America today as well.
And yeah, so that definitely was a thought process, a thought in my mind, because I was really thinking like, okay, they could get these girls for something. They could, if they really and truly wanted to. But like I said, I think the current racial status in America, I don't think that anybody really wanted to touch this. I don't think anybody was like, you know what, let's punish these girls just for throwing this fist up. Now, if this would have been a different culture, a different time, I believe they could have been. But in this day and age, at this moment in history, the last thing you want to deal with is any kind of racial issues, especially on this level, because it went viral so fast. So, and that was another thing, you know, it, the age of social media, it gets these things out there so fast that sometimes, you know, the court of popular opinion can play a huge factor in how someone takes things. Now, there's, of course, your side, their side, and the truth. Now, my truth, obviously, may not be theirs or anyone else's, but in all honesty, in my humble opinion, this, you know, like you said, this was, okay, a symbol of unity, a symbol of womanhood, of sisterhood. This did not say any kind of hate, in my opinion. This is simply saying we are 16 black female Army cadets. We are graduating. We are showing that we are strong. We are unified. And that is all.
Yes. And I tell you, one other thing that may have helped their cause is there's a black president in office.
Oh, well, yeah. Definitely.
And I wouldn't put it past the president to have shot a text message, told one of his aides to go tell the commandant of the Citadel, hey bro, this isn't going down like you may want it to.
Like, not even close.
Not even close.
Go ahead and let that go. Chalk it up as an L. Make up whatever story you want to make up. And we'll go from there.
Right.
So, yeah. I definitely just did, like I said, because I hate to keep beating a dead horse. But I didn't see hate. And it just killed me to see the amount of people that were on social media like, this is a hateful thing. And they're about to be in a position of authority, get their commissions, you know, they'll all be second lieutenants in charge of people, and you know, they could, you know, sway people's evaluations one way or another. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys have really put a lot of thought into this, like, you way too much thought, you know. So that's just where I'm at with it. That's where I'm at. Any final thoughts on this one, Chance?
No, I think you gave a good summation. I think people that saw anything other than the women standing up and showing unity for themselves and pride in what they've accomplished, I think anyone that saw more into it than that, they're looking for something.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. It was nothing. It was nothing, absolutely nothing. And it just sucks that these young ladies, their day was tainted by a couple of people that were just butthurt. Let's just go ahead and say it. They were just butthurt. So that's our thoughts on that, Village. Let's move on to this next topic, Chance. Next topic here. The late, great Prince Roger Nelson. Rogers Nelson. Sorry, Village. I'm bringing his name up, and here's why. Media, when it comes to people of color that are celebrities that have passed on, why is it that there's always some kind of drug allegation that follows along with it? We didn't bash David Bowie, and we've, you know, these guys and the rock stars, they don't get bashed as bad as our black celebrities do. Our people of color get bashed. And that bothers me, obviously, but I want to get your opinion as to why is it that we seem to be the center? Like, when it comes to black Hollywood, we're the center. If something goes wrong, we're the center. It's always some kind of drug-induced situation. It's a gang situation. It's always something that isn't positive. We couldn't even let this man die in peace and say, here's his great body of work. Here's what he's done. Here's what his music has done for people. Instead, they try to say, oh, well, you know, he was doing drugs and you know, stuff like that. Who cares? And that's just my opinion.
It fits a narrative that I think a lot of people that have a fear of the changing demographic of the country, that they fear what will happen to America as the current majority group becomes a minority, and how that will affect and change their lives, the look of their of what they've considered their country. And they feel like a lot of people feel like they're losing their country instead of our country is changing.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to say that somebody as an immense talent like Prince, to say, oh, he was on drugs or he took drugs or something. You know, the man was suffering from chronic pain issues and was being responsible. He obviously didn't have an addictive personality because he knew something was wrong and he was trying to get help for something he knew was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, before the help could arrive, it took his life.
Exactly.
So it's not a matter that, you know, thank you, Ben. It's a lack of empathy for black people and people of color in general. People of color, we're criminalized. And, you know, it's always easier to say somebody committed a crime, and you know, a white person commits a crime, a man did something. A black person commits a crime, a black male did something.
Yeah, it's more descriptive. You know,
Jeffrey Dahmer was never talked about as the white male serial killer that ate people. You know, that was never, you know, his description. But, you know, it's always, you know, they try to perpetrate a stereotype about black people in general. And if something falls outside of that narrative, people get uncomfortable. So it's easier to try to look for that type of negative influence and negative narrative to continue their, you know, their illusion. So, yeah, that's my thought.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you. It's so demeaning and demoralizing to have one of the greats. I mean, Prince himself was a very private person. We all know that. But what's really not being said a lot is how many people he helped, how many families he helped to get over the hump and pay medical bills and put kids through school and stuff like that. Like, he was known for doing stuff like that, but he never sought recognition. That was never his thing. He didn't want to be recognized. He just said, hey, I got it. You need help. Here it is. Let's go. There it is. I don't want nothing from you. Just take the money. Don't tell nobody where you got it. And I'm sure a lot of his stuff was done anonymously. I'm sure there was rarely an opportunity for anybody to even trace it back to him. But I'm saying all this to say, you know, he's done so much with music and helping people. Why couldn't we just focus in on that? Why did it have to be let's focus on his bad? We didn't have to do that. How often do you, let me ask you this, Chance. You and I are from the era of the grunge music, right?
Yes.
We all know that Kurt Cobain blew his brains out. Right? With a shotgun. Right? But we don't like to talk about that. They talk about the music that he made. They talk about his widow. I can't think of her name right now. Courtney Love, right? But we rarely ever talk about, yes, this man blew his brains out. We don't talk about stuff like that. You know, when we talk about, like, someone, let's even say Amy Winehouse, you know, they bring up her alcoholism and drug addiction to a degree, but they still are just trying to talk about her music and how she was such a horrific, early, untimely death and things of that nature.
And how tragic her loss is and how we should feel sorry for her.
Yes.
And black people, it's a different narrative. It's, I look at it as, you know, people found a reason to crucify a man that did nothing but good. So why should I feel any different? Mm-hmm. Why should anybody else? If people could justify a reason to crucify a man that did no ill to anyone, who am I? Of course they can find something on me.
Of course.
Or anybody else. You know, there's always, I don't hold a candle to that man. So anybody else, sure, they're going to try. And, you know, it's up to the individual. But at the end of the day, it's truly up to the individuals to, you know, choose your news sources. You know, believe what what do they say? Believe only half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Yeah.
Because majority of the world knows and loves Prince. They there's never been, you don't see Prince on any drunken high tirades. He did weeks or months, 3 months of free shows. The man is a musical genius, a legend in his own time.
Mm-hmm.
And, a philanthropist. I mean, think of the genius it took in, was it 1984, to write a song called 1999.
And to this day, in 2016, that's still one of the baddest songs ever written, ever performed.
You know, that's one of the baddest albums ever made.
Yeah, for that matter, right?
How many people have died and then their movie comes back and gets reshot in major cinemas?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his songs sound, so many of his songs sound as fresh today as they did when they were released back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And, I feel bad because I didn't keep up and follow his latest stuff. And, I was listening to a little interview he did. He had like two or three albums that he was planning on dropping this year.
Crazy. I did not know that.
and I don't see how he did it.
That, you know, from what I've read about him, it just seemed as if he just had that vault of songs. He was just writing songs. And, of course, he had the studio in his home, and we all know about that. And so he just stayed performing. You know, he just stayed writing. That's how he had all these great songs. So, but yeah, I'm tired of media bashing for no reason. There's not a reason to bash this man. At this point, let the dead lie, for lack of a better word, for, you know, I don't want to go too much into that. And let this man's legacy tell us his stories. You know, let the legacy tell what he's done for just not just America, but the world. You know, you saw the pictures in like Paris and other places. They were, you know, Eiffel Tower was purple and stuff like that.
This man. All over the world.
Yes.
The Tower of London and, you know, London Bridge, I think it was actually.
Mm-hmm, London Bridge, yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, the man was a musical genius, loved all over the world, and yet in his home country, they try to find reasons to slander his name.
Exactly.
You know, he funded a group called Yes We Code, where it helped young black students learn how to program. And yeah, he did. You know, a lot of people. I think a lot of the he was a big supporter of Black Lives Matter.
Yes, he was.
You know, I posted on my Facebook his Performer of the Decade speech, where he talks about how the game is always stacked against minorities.
Mm-hmm.
We briefly touched on the topic. A few weeks ago, about, you know, look at Asians in the movies. You know, the Asian community is really upset about one of the Japanese character that's being played by Scarlett Johansson, and yeah, they really couldn't find an Asian actress to play that part.
Who are you talking about? I don't even know what character is this.
Oh gosh, it's an anime character.
Oh, okay. That's why. Not a big anime guy. Okay. Well, you know, moving on. Media, definitely, like I said, we just got to let this man, let his legacy live on. Let his legacy tell us a story. And I'll leave it at that. Chance, you got anything else?
Yeah, oh, and it's the movie is called Ghost in a Shell, and it's Kusanagi. I'm probably slurring that. Kusanagi, I guess.
Oh,
Kusanagi.
I never.
It's she's playing a Japanese character, and you know she doesn't look Japanese at all.
Obviously. Yeah, that's horrible. Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can really say about that. We'll dig into that one, because I have to do some research on that, because I know nothing about it. But, so let's move on to this next topic. I've been kind of wanting to jump on this one, and there's the last two topics of, I definitely wanted to jump on. George Zimmerman in the news. Georgie. As the juror, what was it, number 7, called him Poor Georgie. Poor Georgie tried to sell the gun that he used to murder Trayvon Martin. I'm not sure of all the circumstances, or if it was like an eBay thing or whatever. I don't know. I just know that the gun was put up for auction. And to me, if that wasn't a slap in the face, I don't know what else is at this point. I cannot imagine being Trayvon Martin's family and having to see the gun go up for auction and would have been bought. But for some reason it was taken down. Again, I don't know all the circumstances as to why it was taken down, but I am thankful that it was taken down. And that's how I'm going to say about that.
You know, poor Georgie.
Poor Georgie.
You know, they say in life you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's to a point in his life where he's selling off all his stuff. He ain't doing so well. So, I don't know his personal circumstance, but I know he's not doing so well. And you know, his life is kind of falling apart.
Good.
And he's been living, he's kind of been living in hell for a while. And it's self-induced because that man knows he was wrong.
Of course.
He knows he killed a boy because he decided to take the law into his own hands and try to punk a teenager that punked him.
Right, basically Trevor Martin whooped his ass. Let's keep it behind it.
So, and he's paying for it in this life. And, you know, it, other than being totally tasteless, you know, I see him as a man without honor. So, I don't, you know, he's going to get what he deserves. Selling the gun, I wouldn't want to be the parents.
No.
And see something like that. But I think he's reaping. He's free, but he's a captive in his own spirit, his own mind, and in society. So. Man, I wouldn't want to be his parents. You know, I'm really surprised that man's still alive.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I've thought the same thing ever since this happened. I'm like, no one's gotten him yet.
Yeah, no, I thought he would have. Didn't he try to commit suicide or something?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow too much up on him. After he was acquitted, I just gave up on the whole judicial system. And I just kind of gave up for a little bit because this was a blatant case of he was wrong. Now, if you leave people the hell alone, you don't get beat up. If you leave Trayvon Martin alone, Trayvon Martin could very well be in college right now. Just like his younger brother has graduated from, what is it, Florida International. And I believe he's working some kind of law degree now or something like that. I don't know.
You know, Florida is an interesting place. It's one of the only states I know of where the little geeky nerd guy can go up to the biggest, meanest person in a bar, pick a fight with him, ask him to go outside, then shoot him, and say, hey, it's justified, I feared for my life.
And that is just pathetic in itself, to know that you could possibly lose your life because somebody's scared of you.
Right. Somebody can kill you because they're scared of you.
Unreal. Like the what's the guy, the one that shot into the car of the 17-year-old, I believe, or 18-year-old. He said the music was playing too loud.
They went for a shotgun.
Yeah, a gun that was proven not to be there.
Right.
And basically the guy shot into the car and killed this young man. And I believe he's doing life. I mean, I don't know if he got life, but he's pretty old, so he's going to die in there.
He will die in jail.
Yeah, he's definitely going to die in jail. So, it's life.
Yeah, I mean, the most damning evidence came from his girlfriend when she heard about it. And because he told her what happened. Because he left, went to, left it off, told his girlfriend what happened, and then turned himself in the next day.
crazy. And this is why, and I hate going off topic. I was really trying to, you know, focus in and narrow in. But this is why we say Black Lives Matter, right? It's not the fact, we're not trying to say that you don't matter. We're trying to say that we matter as well. That's all this is. That's what all this is about. People, we're just simply trying to say we matter as well. That's it. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Florida's off limits for me.
Oh, yeah. I can't even visit.
I can't visit Florida. You know, Florida's a state that enjoys getting lots of, you know, like most southern states, they enjoy a large proportion of federal funds to help subsidize their flailing economies.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they continuously vote for tax cuts for the rich. You know, let me stay on topic, though.
Yeah. We can get into that. We will write some another show for that. So that's not an issue.
So Zimmerman and the sale of that gun is a tasteless, classless act of a man with little character, no character, as far as I'm concerned, and that's all it is. I don't even want to dignify. Dignify his being with, anything else on the top.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there real quick because it was kind of a quiet thing. But, you know, social media is really good about getting stuff out. So I just wanted to kind of briefly discuss that. And, you know, we can move on to the next topic here. I just wanted to throw that out there because it just bugged me beyond words to know that he's getting away. He could possibly sell the gun, but again, the auction was taken down. I don't know the circumstances of the full auction. I just know that he was trying to sell the gun, and that's all I knew.
You know, it's probably cursed. It's got, it's one of those things that he looks at, and it just, you know, it probably weighs very heavily on his soul. That's why his life has fallen to shambles.
Yeah.
And he probably wants to try to get rid of everything he can associated with that time, place, and that whole incident. And what he needs to do is go over to that boy's parents' house and beg them for their forgiveness.
Oh, definitely.
For his sake and their sake.
Definitely. Chance.
Say, wait a minute, maybe not go to his house, their house though.
I wouldn't.
They might fear for their life to shoot him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely can't go over there. Yeah, he cannot go over there at all. So let's jump onto this last topic here before we hit the village idiot. Transgender in bathrooms. President Obama has done a bold act, and basically it's like, you guys will comply with this. This is, I don't know, I'm not going to say I disagree, but guys, the way I feel about this is it needs to be handled at the state's level. It needs to strictly be a state issue, go from state to state. Now, if it's a federal thing, then I do, you know, I understand we do have to comply with this. But there's so much to be said about this topic, and it's difficult to just say it has to be like this or it has to be like that. Now, my initial thoughts were, I'm kind of like, hey, you know, when you're a young girl and you're kind of, you know, you're going through changes, your body's going through changes, you don't want to look over and see someone that has a different body part than you. There's a little bit of embarrassment, perhaps.
So you have a lot of modesty, embarrassment, some shame going on, insecurity.
Yeah, all the above, basically. All the above. And I'm going to be honest here. For those that are in the transgender community, I feel for you. And here's why. Because it's hard, number one, to be transgender. Just looking at what you have to go through. This is a real thing to have to deal with. Like, every day, you have to get up and prepare yourself mentally for what you're going to go through. Now, do I agree, disagree with being transgender? That's not here nor there. I just support those that say, this is how I want to live my life. Roger that. And I go forward. I'm not going to treat you any different. I'm going to be your friend. Whatever. I'm going to treat you the way that you present yourself. And I'll leave it at that. But when it comes to using restrooms and things of that nature, it's a double-edged sword. You're talking about essentially transgender male to female can be in the same locker room, take showers, and things of that nature. If that's what it entails, then it's the whole kit and caboodle. You know what I mean?
So when you define, as I think about defining transgender, I look at like Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner.
Who's trying to actually go back to being a male, from what I understand, but go ahead.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's considering going back to becoming a male. That's another, we'll jump into that some other time, but yeah, just keep that on the back, keep it on the back burner.
Okay. You just messed up my headspace. No, but seriously, but with Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner, when I define transgender, I define it as someone that's transitioning from one sex to another. So, that's what I thought it was. So Bruce, he's a biological male,
mm-hmm.
that's taking female hormones. He's got boobs. And
he's retained his penis.
He's kept the unit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start taking a bunch of female hormones, that thing shrivels on up.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you don't get to keep it.
I thought it was fully functioning.
Well, I mean, it depends on how serious and how far he wanted to go with it. You know. If he just wanted to be an ugly...
I'm listening. He wants to be a what?
Oh, no. Camila told me to not go there. Tone it back. So, if he just wanted to be a woman, or a man who dressed like a woman with boobs and a unit, I mean, I don't understand it. But my thing is, I doubt very seriously if he's going up into a male bathroom and whipping it out in a urinal, in a dress. I'm sure he's being a lot more discreet, using a woman's bathroom, going into a stall, closing the door, or even if he had to go to a men's room, going into a bathroom, using a stall. He's probably gone through enough looks and everything else in his life where he doesn't, when you need to relieve yourself, you just want to be able to go.
Yeah.
So, the thing about that whole Carolina law, everyone keeps pointing out that bathroom portion of it. But the big part about that law that raised legal eyebrows was the part where cities and towns, municipalities, counties, they couldn't pass any civil rights laws. Any entity, government entity lesser than the state, could not pass any type of civil rights law. So, Charleston, city, couldn't pass a law saying... You have to pay women the same pay you pay a man for the same job. And so the city couldn't pass, couldn't make that law. Not only that, that's bad. But then, under that same law, people couldn't sue for civil rights violations. And
so basically, they were kind of like a catch-all.
It was a catch-all to kind of shut down civil rights.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole bathroom thing is kind of a big distraction to the bigger picture, which is, you know, Carolina is really trying to stifle the progression of civil rights, just like Alabama was trying to stifle minority voting by shutting down DMVs across the state,
mm-hmm.
minority black counties. And, you know, this is a progressive thing where, like I said, a lot of white people are afraid of changing demographic in the country and losing power, especially those that live in the South or are used to the whole Bible Belt, really.
Yeah.
And and even people in areas outside of those regions that are used to seeing a specific, just a homogeneous demographic of people, or maybe a small minority, a small percentage of minorities in the community that assimilate into the community and function as they do. But then when you get a larger percentage of minorities, and then they don't necessarily fully assimilate, and they bring their own culture, suddenly, there's a problem. It's like, no, your culture is not the only culture that created America.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, they're of that mindset that it is. You know, ketchup is being replaced with salsa. You know?
Really, and, you know,
dog. Enjoy it.
I don't believe you just said. Wow. But it's so true. That's right. Oh. Especially sriracha.
So, you know, get used to it. It's
a hard pill to swallow for some people.
It's a hard pill to swallow for some people because some people feel, you know, they haven't progressed as far as they would have liked to. Or they feel and now they are competing with minorities that are more qualified than they are, and in some cases having to work for more minorities that are more qualified than they are, and the jobs that they used to have are gone. They've been outsourced to foreign countries, to foreign workers, and they don't have many prospects. And and that happened because of people that look like them that they keep voting for and giving tax breaks to, but are still sending their jobs overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they haven't quite got, that was the power of the early Chicago Panthers, you know, when they united the Hispanic community and the poor whites together. And that's why, you know, they had to die. Because when poor people unite and realize that, you know, it's not the Republican Party or the Democratic Party that they're really fighting against. It's really the rich people trying to get deeper into their pockets and keep them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those very wealthy people are telling those poor white people that, hey, those Hispanics are the reason why you can't get a job. You know, 30 years ago, it was, it's those blacks that are keeping you from getting a job. You know, now it's like, look, it's the transgenders and those gays that are keeping you from being able to get a job and destroying the moral fiber of the community and everything. You know, and they're sitting back laughing as these poor white people are sitting there agreeing with them, yeah, we're going to put Trump in office and he'll kick butt and take names and fix the problem.
And build a wall. He's going to build the wall.
Trump was going to build a wall and put all the poor people in it, one of the wealthiest demographic groups in the country are gay people, homosexuals. So, he's not going to put them in the wall. He's not going to really do anything. He's a businessman. They have money to spend.
And they have influence. That's the biggest part. It's influence.
They have money. They have influence. He's got to flip-flop like he's been doing throughout his campaign. And he's going to become their bestest friend. And
did you just say bestest?
He's going to be their bestest friend. He might even start talking with a lisp. Who knows?
You know you're wrong for that. Oh, man.
My wife's telling me I need to apologize for that one. I may be a little wrong for that. But, I'm picking on Trump because I don't like Trump.
No.
I see Trump, but see, to me, that's the type of cheap theatrics I think a person like Donald Trump would resort to. I mean, that's just me. That was my meaning in that. I wouldn't put it past him to try to act like,
everything is okay, essentially.
He just trying to, pour it on too thick,
I know exactly what you're saying, man. Look, I'm not, because it, but he's becoming a politician. He's becoming the very thing that we knew he would become. He's going to say and do whatever it takes to basically get into the White House. You know, he may do a complete flip flop. He may get in there and be like, hey, I really don't feel this way. I don't feel like the way that y'all want me to feel. So this is what I'm going to do. He may try to get in there and try to unite everybody. We don't know. I'm not banking on it. I'm really not. So let's just go ahead and say it. But
go ahead. I would say, the whole. So my whole point is that the whole bathroom thing,
mm-hmm,
is a distraction because that's kind of sensational.
Yeah.
The real issue is that the state is trying to block municipalities and cities from passing any other civil rights laws, and then laws protecting civil rights, and then trying to stop anyone from having the right to sue for violations of civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would a state do that? Why are states saying that you can refuse service for somebody on religious grounds, not just at restaurants? You can refuse people service on religious grounds. So now someone can say, a black doctor can say, I don't see white patients.
You know, it could.
The Muslim dry cleaner saying we don't service Hispanics. You know, the Hispanic restaurant could say we don't serve Muslims. You know, anybody could now say, we don't serve somebody else. You know, the Muslims guy, and the Jews could say, we don't serve anybody.
But our own.
But our own.
Yes. Yes.
And, if one day you find someone that is willing to go down that route with you, more power to you.
You have to say that chance. Go down that route. That's just not necessary. You just didn't have to do it.
I didn't. I, what did I minutes. Right?
Nothing, man. I'm just messing with you.
See, look, but that one went over my head. I don't even know what
to... Yeah, it's all good, brother. It's all good. My bad. but yeah, that's it. I just had those two tonight. There's so much more. Again, I'm still trying to learn this equipment. So for me, it's a lot of reading right now and trying to work, which is very stressful right now. Work is stressful. And yeah, trying to get this business plan. I got a life coach or whatever the case now. And yeah, it's everything's a work in progress, man. Like, I'm just trying to be patient and keep things moving. So with that, Chance, what's your Twitter, sir?
At Chance W. Brown.
You can also hit me up at Enlighten My Mind. You can hit me up also at W2 The Village. Lady J is at Loving Chanel. KK is at Bloodly KK. You can hit up Camila at Red Cali. You can go to our wonderful Facebook page, Welcome to the Village. Search it on Facebook, like it, tell your friends about it, and then tell more friends about it. Go to our awesome website, welcometothevillage.com. Email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. You can shoot us a Google voicemail, 619-202-1562. We would really love to hear you guys' voices. It's been a while. We were kind of getting a few messages and emails and things of that nature, but when we went offline, you know, out of sight, out of mind, for lack of a better word. So we kind of lost them. May have lost some people, but, you know, we're still here. We're still rocking with you guys, still riding with you. Chance, any final words?
Man, vote. Get out there and vote.
That's it. Get out there and vote. Let your voice be heard through your vote. If you want to make a difference, vote. And if you don't vote, don't complain.
You know, and if you really want to make a difference, put your name on the ballot.
There you go. Or just write Bernie's name in, like I plan on doing. Yeah. But all right, Village, that's it. You heard the Village Idiot. You heard a plethora of topics tonight. As the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night.